From the home of the Packers, a look at the game through the player's eyes. This is Inside Lambeau.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, along the big guy, Mike Daniels. A little upset he didn't get his hair cut this week, but I still think you're looking good, and it's always looking good when you're on a five-game winning streak. Coming off the Detroit Lions, big win on the road. What did you learn about your football team then?
The resiliency that we carry. You know, we carry it with us in practice. They put us in tough situations in the weight room, in the off-season training program. So when we get out there on the field and we have to face some adversity, because in football you're going to face adversity. Those guys get paid just like we do, and you're going to face great players out there. You know, you're going to see who's going to really step up to the plate. And, you know, you asked what I learned about the team. I learned that everybody's going to step up to the plate.
As long as number 12 is under center, you always got a chance to win a football game like you guys win it late like you did last Sunday.
Aaron's a great player.
Yeah. And you know what? You made a nice play. Now let's talk about what it's like to get a fumble recovery as a rookie. I mean, you want to be seen, not heard. I remember you telling me that when you first got here. You wanted to stay in the low key. There's your fumble recovery. Desmond Moses, your former Iowa guy, just hooked you up with a ball. I mean, you had to fall on that one, right?
I mean, I saw it there, so I had to get it. You know, I mean, I really wanted to get to the quarterback, but Desmond beat me to it. And, you know, he was out there hustling. I was hustling, too, and it's something I always say. You play hard, you hustle hard. It doesn't guarantee something good is going to happen, but it definitely increases the likelihood, and that's what happened that night.
You know, like he was trying to make some rather. Yards. Were you trying to go somewhere with that ball or something?
Yeah, I was, but my other former teammate from Iowa, Riley Reif, you know, he – kind of cleaned me up here. You can see Eric actually blocked Sims for me, but Riley, yeah, he got me, and I made sure I let him know, hey, that was a nice hit you got on me. But, you know, it was all in good fun.
All right, what's it like playing with that harness? Does that restrict you at all?
A little bit, but being a defensive lineman, you want to have your hands tight, so it actually gives a little bit of an advantage.
How about the way you guys stepped up with Moses and you with no Clay Matthews? It's a little different in the defense when Clay wasn't playing. You got Casey Hayward. Everybody stepped up. Did you guys – you didn't have your main guy up there in 52, Clay Matthews. What was it like out there in the field when you see the young guys making plays?
Everybody should be smiling. Everybody should be very excited because, that's the future. You know, you look at young guys that can make plays, I'm pretty sure that can – really get a lot of people excited.
And you're one of those guys that people don't think realize that you missed all the OTAs, all the mini camps, because you busted up your shoulder. You had to have surgery in January. So it's been a big adjustment for you to get to where you are right now.
It's been pretty difficult, but I say I have been blessed to be able to, you know, really step up and show guys that I belong on this team. I belong here. Like you said, I don't need to do much talking. I just, you know, rather be seen than heard.
Is it, when you're a rookie, you want to make plays, you want the veterans to look down and say, hey, kid, nice play, nice. What does it feel like to make the big plays in the game? You've had some sacks already, you've gotten to the quarterback. I mean, for a rookie, I mean, that's pretty big.
I mean, that's huge for anybody, and especially being a rookie, and you want to make your claim, you want guys to know who you are, and, you know, you don't have to do talking with your mouth, you do it with your actions. Actions do speak louder than words, and by going out on the field and making plays, that's the best way to gain respect. But going out there on the field, making plays while keeping your mouth shut, I think that gains a lot more respect.
You got some sack off of Jay Cutler too, huh?
Yeah, I got one on Jay.
What's it like getting in there and beating everybody and getting that sack? Is that the ultimate for a defensive lineman? Because you guys do all the dirty work in there. You get double teamed, triple teamed, you get your mouthpiece knocked out, and when you finally get a reward to get into the quarterback, that's got to be a great feeling.
Oh, it's an awesome feeling. Nothing in this world can replicate that or duplicate it. I mean, especially when you make a play at home in a place like Lambeau and that crowd just goes crazy, or you make a play on the road and the crowd gets very silent. You know, it's pretty good.
It's not bad just going on the road and getting that sack. Here's Mike Daniels getting in there for another sack. Were you a little bit worried that you, with the shoulder, that you were going to be a little bit restricted in your ability?
Not at all. You know, I'm a man of faith, and, you know, I really sat at home. I prayed about it a lot. I really took some time to get into my Bible and to get to know myself a little bit better. While a lot of guys were out training and getting prepared for the combine, I was really taking time to reflect on, you know, a lot of things just in my life, in my career, in high school, even Little League, and at Iowa, so that I can make sure that I move forward and I don't have any regrets and that I don't give myself any opportunities to regret anything in the future.
All right, he's Mike Daniels. We're going to have more with this big dude coming up after the break.
Snap to Stafford, looking downfield, looks, waits, throws, it's intercepted off the hands of Scheffler, intercepted by MB Jennings.
I saw a bunch of offensive linemen, I was like, man, I can't let an offensive lineman tackle me. And you know, my guys did a great job blocking for me and leading me to the end zone.
High stepping right sideline to the 50, to the 45, 40. He's got a convoy down the right side of the end zone, touchdown.
And this is one of my favorite segments of the show, and we call this the Karma segment. Because let me explain this to you, Mike. Now, you saw that play by MD Jennings, right?
I saw that play by MD Jennings.
Okay, we've been having a lot of luck with guys that have come on this show that next game, they make big plays. MD Jennings, of course, had that big interception pick six the other way for 72 yards. So the pressure's on you right now. I mean, yeah, Morgan Burnett was on the show. He showed out his next game. We've had, you know, your boy Moses, Desmond Moses on the show, ended up getting a sack. So, good. I mean, are you a little bit worried about the karma pressure? I mean, if you are worried, you can let me know. I mean, you can tell me in your deep voice.
Yeah, Rod, I'm a little worried.
I mean, you can be yourself.
I'm not worried. If anything, I'm looking like, oh, great. Now I have something else working on my side. So thanks for having me and buying me a play.
Buying me a play. Hey, what was it like on the sideline or watching your guy make that play and take it all the way to the house? Because that was a big play in the game.
Yeah, I think my friend over there in Detroit, Reef, has a knack for getting after guys who get turnovers because right. Big 71 was coming to take his knees out, and I was watching the sideline like, oh, man, Riley's coming like a missile. But, you know, MD's pretty athletic, stayed on his feet, and took it down the sideline for six.
Yeah, I like him because he said he didn't make sure he didn't want to get caught by none of those big offensive linemen for the Detroit Lions because then you guys let him have it on the sideline.
Yeah, that'd have been scary.
Well, a lot of people don't really realize you – to get into where you are right now, I think in high school it was, didn't you put together a tape and you started shuffling off your tape and Iowa was the only, like you were one of those guys that was kind of under the radar, unheralded type of guy. What was it like just to get someone like Iowa to give you a scholarship?
I wasn't just unheralded. I was actually denied a few times. I was offered a scholarship by Villanova and they pulled the scholarship while I was on my visit.
Now that's a slap in the face.
It is, but Iowa called me while I was on that visit, too, so everything works out for the best.
But how do you pull a scholarship when you're on a trip at Villanova? How do you pull a scholarship from a guy like you who's now in the league?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't go to a great football high school, and, I mean, I really don't know. I really don't know.
Did that hurt? I mean, look, they say you played running back. Over 2,200 yards on the ground, you played a defensive lineman, and you were a power back. Now, I have to believe it because I read it, but I couldn't find no YouTube video. I couldn't find any of it.
Yeah, that goes to show how highly recruited and known, my reputation that didn't even exist except for amongst the coaches I played against and the players I played against.
So when you got – but for a defensive lineman to play running back and to have over 2,200 yards, that's saying something. I mean, you had 25 TDs.
I just play hard. Yeah, I mean, that's the only way I can explain it.
But once you got to Iowa, what was it like busting through and trying to make a name for yourself?
Pretty much the same it is here. You know, I'm just trying to get the older guys to respect me by playing my hardest football. You know, I did a little more talking when I got to Iowa than when I got here, but that's just something I learned, you know, is your production and playing hard isn't going to be the only thing that gets you respect. You just got to, you know, buy your time, speak when spoken to, and I learned that quickly. You know, I had a few good mentors up there to really help me adjust to playing big-time football and maturing as a man.
All right. This is Mike Daniels bringing it strong on Inside Lambo coming up. Maybe we can dig into his personal life just a little bit. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Inside Lambo. I'm your host, Rod Burks, along the big guy, Mike Daniels. Got a winning smile, million-dollar smile. So, everybody wants to know, you guys, it's like, what's your daily life like when you're an NFL football player? I mean, how many hours out of the day does it take? And what do you like to do when you're not doing football? And don't tell me you're relaxing, okay? Because I know you guys well enough. I know you're not kicking back on the sofa relaxing.
I mean, you might not know us as well as you think you do.
Oh, okay.
That's what a lot of guys do. They go home, take their shoes off, which is a great feeling, by the way, when you finally get to take your shoes off, and lay on the couch, play video games, play with your kids. You have a kid. I have a son. You know, I love to hang with him. You know, hang with his significant other, whatever, you know. I mean, just playing football is so demanding on your body. So when you get free time, you like to just relax.
I don't know. We should believe him, but he's a pretty well-honored guy, and I like him. So we're going to go ahead and believe that you just go home and relax after you kick off the shoes. Now, I found this very interesting. Japanese comic books, okay? How are you enjoying Japanese comic books, and do you have some at the house right now?
I read them online. You know,
people
translate them, so I go to the websites and read them. You know, one thing I'm reading right now is Naruto. All you Naruto fans out there, they'll know it's pretty heating up right now. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Now, what is that?
I might give you volume one and let you start reading it.
Okay.
You got to read it from right to left, though.
How many pages is it?
I don't know, man.
Because, you know, I'm always relaxing
right.
Just like you.
It's about 15 pages a chapter.
But, okay.
Well, you know, it's nice. You know, it's one thing with a lot of times people look at it and they say, oh, it's just for kids.
Right.
It really isn't. You know, it's really geared towards young adults. So, you know, there's a lot of things in there that did you see the Batman movie?
Did
you
no,
watch
I did
the Dark
not.
Knight
I,
movie?
No, I didn't see
oh,
that.
You didn't see none of the Dark Knight movies?
No,
yeah.
No, but I saw some Batman movies back in the day.
All right. For some reason, I think you're lying to me, but
no, I've seen some
I'll take your
movies.
Word. I'll take your word on it.
I'm,
you know, you're
your
well trusted guy like I am.
All the time.
I am.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, you know, you think Batman, it's a cartoon for kids, right? Those movies had some adult situations. It's kind of like what those Japanese comic books are, too.
All right, Japanese comic books online. So I got a feeling after when you're done playing football, after you have an illustrious career, I know you would try to be on television. Do you do radio? Do a great job at it. You got 30 seconds. Is there any question you'd like to ask me if I could turn the tables? And you can play host right now for the next 30 seconds, and it better be good and not too personal.
You know, you don't ask irrelevant questions, so I'm not going to ask you something that is, you know, irrelevant.
Right.
Being repetitive here. But how'd you get into the business?
Oh, I got in the business. I went to journalism school. Had a big passion for sports. I loved it. Started doing high school football and started interning at NBC in Chicago, and the rest is history.
So you know, when you ask me questions, they show clips of me. I was hoping I could see some clips of you when you were in college, you know, and when you had a fro or some cornrows or something. I wanted to see old school pictures of you.
Oh, but I like that. I like that.
Next time on the show, make sure you guys pull up an old picture of him and
give
me a shout out.
All right, this is Mike Daniels. He was awesome today. Thanks for doing a nice job. And next time you come on my show, get a haircut.
I will. Don't worry. I'm going to be dressed better than you. How about that?
I don't know about that.
I know about
stick
that.
Around, folks. Tom Silverstein coming up in our next segment.
Third and one. Snap to Rodgers. Lost the left side. Going for Cobb. A leaping attempt. He's got it between defenders. A touchdown, Green Bay. Oh, what a throw. What a catch.
And welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burst, alongside Tom Silverstein. He has his phone here just in case somebody has some breaking Packer news for him, because that's how he rolls. He's always breaking off big time Packer news. Now, you've got the chance to see Randall Cobb. He's got a lot of swagger in this game. This guy is bringing a lot to the table to the Green Bay Packers right now.
Yeah, well, they drafted this guy in mind of replacing Greg Jennings at some point. They knew that it would be hard to replace or re-sign Greg Jennings. So they needed a returner. And then they needed a guy who could play in the slot. And that's what Randall Cobb has brought to them. He's brought a pretty dangerous guy who's tough to cover in the open field. And he's really come on more so as a receiver than maybe they thought or anybody else thought. He's really kind of developed. Now, he still needs to learn the nuances of the game and continue to show he can hold on to the ball. But he's definitely explosive.
And they're running him out of the backfield. He doesn't have a running back type of body. Is it safer to do that?
Well,
and why did they do that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think part of it is that if he's in the backfield, the defense has to be ready to cover him as a receiver. He could go out in motion. So a lot of times they may only be in a six-man front. You know, they may not have as many linebackers. And then he carries the ball, and you have a better shot of actually breaking open a run play. So I don't think we've seen all the different ways that they're going to use him in the backfield. You know, wildcat at some point, I would assume. And, you know, I think the sky's the limit in the different ways you can use them.
Two questions for you. Would he be getting these opportunities if Greg Jennings was healthy? Is it time to take this guy off the returns?
No. The first part is no. If Greg Jennings was healthy and producing like he normally would, Randall Cobb would be buried a little bit. I mean, I think they'd still be finding ways to use him, but he would not be highlighted like the way he is. So in some ways, that was kind of fortunate for him that, you know, he's now become a piece of this offense that is irreplaceable. As for returns are huge. They set up points, and I just don't see them taking him off. And I don't think I would either.
Let's talk about the big subject of the week. Mason Crosby has missed 7 of his last 13. I really like this guy. What is going on with him? Is it physical or is it mental?
Well, they claim that it's mechanical, that, you know, there's a certain issue with his delivery. I think it's probably more mental. I think, you know, it probably would have been good for them to get a sports psychologist. Maybe they have, I don't know. But someone to, you know, sit him down, let him talk it out. And then also, you know, maybe he needs a new face to analyze what he's doing. Maybe they needed to bring in a kick specialist. They said Sean Slocum said this week they will not do that. But, you know, in my mind, it couldn't hurt, you know.
Yeah, because he had that one ugly kick earlier in the season when it just squibbed. That was an ugly kick.
He had a couple of those, both of those kicks in Indianapolis. Since then, his kicks have been much more solid.
Right.
But they're still tailing, you know, they're still hooking to the left. And something's going on there.
How worried are the Packers, you think?
Well, I think they're very worried. You know, I think they're glad it's happening now as opposed to week 17,
right.
You know, going into the playoffs. What do they do? Do they get someone else? Or, you know, at least he's got time to work it out now.
Yeah, okay. He's Tom Silverstein of the Journal Sentinel. We're going to have more with him coming up after this quick timeout. Welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm joined by Tom Silverstein of the Journal Sentinel. Got some coffee to keep him awake. He's been working so hard doing all that Packer stuff. Let's talk about the timeline of Charles Woodson and running back Cedric Benson. When can we expect returns from these guys?
I think Woodson's getting closer. I've seen him every day. He's in practice. He's running routes with the scout team. You know, he's not allowed to play defense. But you see him, you know, and I've seen him raise his arms to go up and catch passes. I think he's getting pretty close. I think they just have to make sure that the bone is knit completely and that he doesn't have a chance of breaking it again. Of course, I say if he doesn't wear any bigger shoulder pads than that, he's going to break his collarbone again. But that's just my opinion. As for Benson, he's also getting close. He's eligible, I believe it's December 4th, but he's going to a specialist to get his foot looked at, and they're going to determine whether it's healed or whether he might need surgery. And if he needs surgery, then he's done for the year. So that'll be a big, you know, that's a big examination for him.
I talked to him in the locker room today. He said he was feeling a lot better, though. He said he's feeling a lot better. And
I think, you know, you can move around and walk around, but, you know, you start making football moves and things like that, you know, he could just break it again, I assume. So I think they have to go and find out whether it's mended, you know, the way that it should.
All right. They got the Packers got the New York Giants coming up next in New York. Is this the revenge game? I mean, because everybody thought the Packers were headed to the Super Bowl, 15-1 in the season.
Yeah.
And then they go and the Giants just came in town and just put it to them.
Well, you go through the locker room today and ask guys about it. Oh, no, it's just another game. And you know that they're just lying. It's a flat-out lie. This is a huge revenge game. I think they've got payback on their mind, and I think they want to play the way they should have played in that game, even though, you know, the Giants were probably the better team. I still think to this day they were a better team because of their defense. But, you know, Packers have improved their defense, and now it's time to see whether they can hang with a really good team.
Yeah, but they've lost two in a row, and they're coming off the bye, so they're kind of rested up. What are you expecting in this game?
Well, I think they're going to throw some things at the Packer defense. I think Eli Manning will have some things for those young defensive backs. You know, they're going to probably give them some looks and do some checks at the line of scrimmage to try to confuse them. And so it'll be kind of interesting chess match between Manning and the Packers defense, Dom Capers, see how that works out.
Because the Giants have had the Packers number in big games here at Lambeau.
Well, it's funny, yeah, they've won the two playoff games, and then in the regular season the Packers have won all three meetings, right, you know, since McCarthy's been here. So it'll be, you know, it should be a pretty decent game. You know, the Giants are playing really, have been playing pretty poorly, so we will see.
All right, he is Tom Silverstein, the General Sentinel. I'm Rod Burks, your host for Inside Lambeau. You got the Packers and Giants coming up in the Big Apple. And guess what, folks? We'll see you next week.